Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It is the world's worst hit records countdown. We're not counting them down, but we're still voting. However, in this first hour, we're joined again by Steve Propes. And how wonderful that is, since I'm sure he's going to chime in on the world's worst hits. But in the meantime, Steve, welcome to WGN Radio.
Here we go with another world's worst show.
Every year it happens, and you know you've been publishing for what, 51 years now, I think, right?
Yeah, something like that. It was just after Vietnam I started. You never know.
I'm sure in 1973 you didn't think, well, 51 years from now I'll still be talking about this stuff.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You really researched that up. It was 1973. Those Oldies But Goodies came out that year.
On Macmillan, yes, publishing, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, no longer in business. I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I was going to say it was not because of you. I'm just convinced. And next year on Chilton, A Guide to 60s Record Collecting, which in 1974 was not quite as daunting as trying to collect 60s records now, I'm sure.
No, they were around. I had my shot at them and picked up plenty, and then passed on some stuff. Why did I pass on that? That's a garage record that's worth a ton now, and I saw a whole stack of them at the Goodwill, and I thought, I don't like the label. I don't like the name of the group. I don't like the name of the band, so I'll not buy that. And the Goodwill's no longer there, so.
What was the song?
That. Oh God, it was plenty of them. I'm phasing out right now. So here's one that'll. The Spiders on Santa Cruz. Do you know who that became?
Who?
Alice Cooper.
Oh, okay. All right.
Big time desirable record, impossible to find, but not in 73. You could find them, but if something didn't appeal to you about the record, well, I can always go back there and pick it up if I need to. good luck.
I thought that too. My favorite was, of course, the thrift stores. You betcha, they were wonderful. But usually the drive-in swap meets. And if you'd go right around September when the kids had left for college and all that, Mom threw out the records, and I remember I got probably 70 Yellow Atlantics for a dime each.
And That's not bad.
Yeah,
not
that bad. That was the haul that you never forget about. And I've still got their little address labels on some of the records. I think, I wonder what happened to these people. But I'm sure the kids were not happy. But that was the thought. I thought that would last forever. I thought, well, if I don't get it now, I'll just get it later. And that's just not the way it works.
You had to be up early in the morning to hit those swap meets properly, though.
You did. Which I hate. And if I'm willing to give up sleep, you know that it's a special thing. But if I didn't recognize the record, but I recognized the label, that was good enough for me. It was on Class. I was going to buy it. I figured if Leon Renee put it out, it must be okay on some level. And usually I wasn't steered wrong. Now, in one of your books, in fact, those old school records, I was looking at it just the other day, because it's a wonderful book. You've selected 1,000 R&B, rock and roll, and soul, 45 RPM singles between 1946 and 1987. And it's a great thing, even like a coffee table book, because you pick it up, you just open to any page, and it's fascinating information about a lot of records. So speaking of Class and Leon Renee, I come across, you have Gee Whiz, which one of my all-time faves. And
really?
Oh, God, yes. Now, I had to actually go online when I saw this, because I didn't know that Bobby Day re-released it in 1960 on Rendezvous. And so, of course, I go on YouTube, I find the record, and it's the same track with just a little different stuff in the background. I assume that they didn't re-record it, they just re-released it.
Well, they did to that what they especially did with Lottie McSquaddy and what Imperial did with Fats Domino's Going Home. And Pledging My Love by Johnny Ace. The same thing happened to all three of those records. They added a chorus or a choir behind the singer. It was very straight on, the original vocals were great. It didn't need the juicing up. It didn't need the help. And in fact, I brought that up to Bobby Day. You got it right to begin with. Yeah. Why did Rendezvous Records do this? And he looked at me like I'd gone off my rocker, because of course everything that added to is automatically an improvement. So I dropped the subject.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And actually, the background vocals didn't distract me. It was the instrumentation they added that really got me. Like, oh no. And then I saw The Innocents did it, and I thought, this is going to be painful. So of course, I get this one, actually. And to the testament to how good a record or how good a song Gee Whiz is, The Innocents couldn't thoroughly ruin it.
I agree. It's a decent version. But Bob and Earl got it right the first time.
And they didn't
need to be improved upon.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, we agree.
Of course, that was originally Bob and Earl on Class. Now the 1960 version comes out on Rendezvous. How did Bobby Day manage to get the track?
I think Leon Renee made a deal with another Renee Hall, who was behind Rendezvous. I think they just made a deal to reissue the master. I think what happened actually is it was reissued to compete against the Innocents version.
Interesting.
The Innocents hit the chart, so okay, we've got this in the can. It's pretty. I don't want to use the word raw, but it's pretty basic. So we'll make it sound more like The Innocents and put that one out, and maybe we'll get some radio play. What do you think?
I think that's really interesting, and the reason that I immediately buy into your theory is that the releases were almost simultaneous, and they were long after the Bob and Earl version.
I mean, that one had played out.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes all the sense in the world. Rendezvous was an interesting little label. You mentioned Renee Hall, but I think Ernie Fields was heavy into that, and others, Plaz Johnson, and so they had a lot of good people. But when I think of Rendezvous, immediately B. Bumble and the Stingers come to mind. What else did they have?
Oh, they had, I think Dick Dale's first record called Reincarnation, which was a takeoff on Alley-Oop, was on Rendezvous.
Oh, okay.
I had that at one time. That's a horrible record.
I was going to say, that could be on the world's worst, except it wasn't a hit. Thank God.
Yeah, you're right. So nobody heard it.
Right. Thank God.
I mean, how about all the companies that decided... The Lonely Bowl by Herb Alpert is the biggest thing going, so we'll do our own takeoff on that. Oh, some of the worst records that were never heard from again, were based on trying to replicate that success.
Interesting thing about that, bad as some of them were, is back then so many radio stations used to have to do top-of-the-hour news from the network. And I always said at the time that the instrumentals should just all be titled the same. This will take us up to news. Because they'd back time these things. And, you know, you had to be pretty awful as an instrumental not to be on one of those back time versions.
Well, you know what KFWB's go-to song for a go-to record for that purpose was
what?
Image by Hank Levine.
Oh God! All right.
I'm getting you, and it was put out on a label that was owned by the country singer Foy Willing.
Oh my God!
You ever heard of Foy Willing? He had several labels at the time, and let me look this thing up.
Yeah, this goes back. He goes back a country guy, like I've often talked about, and you're from Southern California, too. I've mentioned it repeatedly. The early 50s, when Los Angeles probably had more independent television stations than just about anybody, and, of course, they didn't have much they could run, there was just this love affair with country and Western shows. And people out of the woodwork had these country and Western shows that you would otherwise never even hear of. There were like dozens of them, and I'm sure you remember most of them.
Well, Tennessee Ernie Ford started out on KFXM out of Riverside. But let me get back to Image. It was on the Vogue International label, picked up by ABC Paramount, and was used by all the Crowell Collier stations that were doing top 40 at the time, KFWB, KEWB, and KDWB. How's that for originality?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Sharon Willing was Foy Willing's wife, and she worked at KFWB, and so that gave Foy Willing an in. So he contacted Chuck Bloor, and the jingle preceded the record release. So Chuck Bloor gave permission for the jingle's writers to use their copyrighted work, and then Hank Levine was—he wasn't part of the Wrecking Crew, but he had a similar band, and he arranged the song and used Plas Johnson. And I'm sure you've got in your collection Image on the Vogue International label.
Actually, I have it on AMPAR on ABC Paramount.
Right. Okay.
So, I've seen the picture.
When you heard that on KFWB, you knew the news was coming up.
Well, that's exactly right. That's probably why I have it. But I've seen that Vogue record. The label was just like gray and black. There was like nothing on that label. But I guess with the strength of Crowell Collier, that AMPAR figured, well, we'll just re-release it.
Oh, sure. Or they might have had a side deal. If you do this with us, we'll take your record off your hands or something like that. You never know.
Something.
But it only charted. what a coincidence. It only charted on those three stations and at Wallach's Music City. They charted it, too.
That's great. That's absolutely great.
I've got a ton of Wallach's Music City top 50 charts, and some of the stuff is just, you don't see it on any other charts.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, that real record was released in the UK, actually, on His Master's Voice. So somebody thought enough of this thing. It was on Spartan in Canada. But somebody thought enough of this thing that they were going to re-release it in England? What are these people thinking?
Well, it's a decent instrumental. I mean, come on. But if you're a KFWB or one of the Crowell Collier stations, you stick around and saying, well, why aren't they putting on the news right now?
That's their cue. Right. And in moments, I've got Image Part 1 and Part 2, don't you know? For anybody who doesn't remember, we'll waltz down memory lane. And we are talking with Steve Probst, and people call me all the time, Steve, and ask me all sorts of questions that I can never answer. And I always say, well, wait for Steve to be on, because he knows. And if you didn't know firsthand, you researched it, because the books are just wonderful. And if you go to Amazon, for instance, or any of the booksellers, Propes is P-R-O-P-E-S. Of course, Steve, you can, that's S-T-E-P-H-E-N-C if you want to know. But they're all, just about all. But that first one's hard to come by. I guess when Macmillan went out of business, they didn't give the rights to anybody else. What happened?
You know, it's been so long ago that a lot of this, as a historian, yeah, I have no clue.
Well, I remember it fondly. All right.
but on Image, I should tell you, the sax player is Plas Johnson, the ultimate sax player.
Absolutely. All right, yep. We're talking to Steve, and that's 888-876-5593. And we are voting on the world's worst hit records, and we'll get back to it. But we'll get back to Hank Levine. And if you were in Southern California or Northern California or Minneapolis, well, you'll remember it coming up on WGN Radio. Hard to believe it was a top 40 station, but maybe that explains a lot. We're talking with Steve Probst. It is WGN Radio, and I'm Raleigh James, and you can join us, 888-876-5593. In fact, that prompts me to say that in 1 minute we will go to news, actually. But that record, believe it or not, Steve, charted.
Yeah.
For a week.
Only on Crowell. Did it chart nationally?
Yeah, 1 week. Got to number 98 in 1961. But that Hank Levine was a guy from Pittsburgh. So I'm pretty sure. And he put this group together, the Miniature Men. And they did Baby Elephant Walk, another fine instrumental.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
He recorded on the well-known Tops label, you know, that discount label where they would,
the Riesings. Hang on a minute. I absolutely want to talk about Tops and Promenade and everybody else coming up. We're talking about Steve Probst on WGN Radio. Since we're talking with Steve Probst, and you can read all about Gee Whiz in those old school records, just one of the dozen books that Steve has written. I got a lot of questions, but I guess Steve, those Innocents, that's the group that backed Kathy Young. Where was Kathy Young on that?
She wasn't on that. It was when she had name credit on Kathy Young and the Innocents records, but not the Innocents.
Right.
As a spin-off group. Her big success was A Thousand Stars, taken by from the Rivoliers. In those days, it wasn't uncommon for, a hit being drawn from a previous effort that maybe wasn't as successful as it might have been.
And it should have been, because I'll take the Rivoliers every day over Kathy Young.
Yeah.
But when I looked at
Come
that
on.
Innocence,
yeah.
I thought, oh, man, what happened to Kathy?
Well, maybe she was at the recording session, but they didn't use her on that.
Probably for the best.
You never know.
But it was...
Come on.
Yeah, well, you know, we are talking about the world's worst hit records. But the interesting thing about Indigo is they had some interesting acts on there, like the Crystals and not the same Crystals, obviously.
Now there's another record I passed up at a thrift store. I should have bought it. The Crystals on Indigo. It was
Dreams and Wishes.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it was a decent instrumental. Now, Indigo was a co-label to Lavender. Get it? Indigo, Lavender,
oh,
Colors.
God.
And the remarkable record that came out on Lavender was the White Cliffs of Dover by the Robins, where the background nonsense lyrics are taken directly from I Wonder Why by Dionne and the Belmonts, that sort of stuttering type of background. So that's a major trip down R&B R&B lore.
I'm going to look for that. I don't know that I've heard that. That's terrific.
White Cliffs of Dover, the Robins. There were two definitive versions. Of course, the Checkers really had the one that people enjoyed hearing, but the Robins version, after the Coasters were spun off from the Robins. So
right.
What left was left of the Robins after the Coasters took most of the personnel, and Lieber Stoller left L.A. at the suggestion of the LAPD. That's another story.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. No, really? I love that.
Well,
you know, of course, the deal with the Robins is that Lieber and Stoller took the ones who were underage because they weren't bound by the contract.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't heard that. See, we're sort of playing, a little game of chess here. Your move, and you give me something I didn't know. But yeah, it was the Hat Squad that approached Lieber Stoller. Had to do with, I'm not going to get into it now, but if it's researched enough, I'll tell you at a later time.
Yeah, you know that's what I'm going to do when I'm off the air tonight, because I want to know. I actually liked the Robins after the Coasters when they were involved with Gene Norman Productions.
Cherry Lips, great record.
Cherry Lips. And there were a bunch of little great records that the Robins did, and Ty Tyrell and everybody else. And last I saw Ty Tyrell, he was the bouncer at the Playboy Club. In Century City, and that must have been like 1981.
Yeah, I interviewed him once, and he gave me the lowdown on a bunch of stuff. Said, you know, how they hooked up with Johnny Otis at the Barrel House, and how Herman Levinsky came to town to thank him for the number one hit, Double Crossing Blues with Little Esther and the Robins, you know, Johnny Otis Orchestra. And he pulled out, the Robins were all there, and he pulled out a $20 bill and said, go get some something to drink. You know, he was going to party with them. And Bobby Nunn and the guys started fighting over the $20, and Lubinsky says, I'm out of here. I'm never coming back.
That's hilarious.
to L.A., yeah. That must have been quite the... quite the backstage, you know, I mean, they fought over $20.
Oh, geez. But yeah, some of those, like Live Wire Susie, I thought that was a great little record. There were,
what's the other one on RV? Just Like That.
Yeah, Just Like That. And Lilbert told me there's so many, that were, you know, never played anywhere. And keep your mind
like
on me.
Just Like That got played now. It wasn't played, to any great extent, but it was played.
Well, I am hogging you, and we actually have a caller, and he's someone who often asks me stuff, so hopefully he's got questions, because I know you've got answers. So let's see what Jack in St. Charles has to say. So join us. Jack, how are you?
Okie dokie.
So what do you want to know?
I was just going to ask for a couple of songs.
Oh,
with the same title but different songs.
All right.
Sarah Vaughan, Smooth Operator.
Right.
You can probably guess the other one.
Yeah, right, Sade. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so these are just requests?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thanks for calling, Jack. I appreciate it.
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right. So now let's get back to what we were talking about before the news. These budget labels, the tops and the hit and the promenade and all those.
Broadway.
You know,
Broadway.
Yeah. Right. Even Seberg, I think, for a while. But there were several
Gilmar.
Of them. And
Gilmar.
Right.
Yeah. Promenade. Was it Promenade that had all the picture sleeves, including, and they were photos, including one of
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I do. I do.
Jane Mansfield was,
on one of them.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
That's a big money.
I'll bet it is.
Ticket.
No.
I met a Broadway label recording star. Her task, one of her tasks, was to cover the Teen Queens on Eddie My Love. Her name was. Boy, I can look it up. But she gave me her copy of Eddie My Love.
Oh, wow.
And she said that basically the label, you know, told the artist to go out and buy the record and learn it from what they hear on the
On the vinyl, on the track, sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, then that was it. They didn't care how well you could sing, as long as you could sing just like the hit.
Right.
Know? Because of course they were selling six of them for 79 cents or whatever. So sure.
Her name was C.C. Julian. Her other release that of note was her take on Rock and Roll Waltz and Teenage Prayer.
Oh, God.
So she was in charge of, she also did a version of Tall Paul.
Oh, help.
So that takes you, that's about half a decade worth of rock and roll right there on the Broadway label. C.C. Julian, C.E.C.I. Julian. She lived in Long Beach, and Marilyn Horn, the opera singer.
Oh, sure.
She recorded for Broadway and did a cover of Ruth Brown's Be Anything But Be Mine.
You know, it seems like the singers of this were either trying to be on their way up, or like Scatman Crothers, they were definitely on their way down. But I assume some of these singers went on to absolute hit careers. Do you know any?
Well, Dave Burgess did okay. He was
the champs.
Topps label Elvis Presley, whereas Scatman was the Topps label Little Richard. and he also was their Gene Vincent. And Dave Burgess
of the champs.
Hooked up with Challenge Records and was on Tequila by the Champs.
Right.
He was a background. But he and Danny Flores did not get along. You know about that.
Yes.
They could not be in the same studio at the same time, so Dave Burgess held down the L.A. Champs band, and Danny Flores went on tour, so they were never really that, you know, in approximate
Not in the same state at the same time. Well, it was Danny who said Tequila, wasn't it?
Yeah, as a result, the Bahari family, RPM Modern, got half the song because Danny claimed it was an instrumental, and he was signed to Modern as a vocalist. Modern pointed out, well, you said Tequila, so that makes you a vocalist, so we get half the record because you broke your contract.
Oh, no. Well, that's a horrible story, but I guess probably more familiar than we'd like to know. All right, so before I do anything else, Marlo is going to join us. And Marlo actually is from Jackson, Tennessee, and his family was the Jacksonians and then Lanier and Company. So Marlo is no stranger to recording studios. And you got a question? Welcome, Marlo.
Hey, Ron, how you doing, young lady?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. I'm going to send you some 20 by 30 pictures of the Jacksonian Lanier and Company.
Good.
And when we was on the show with Archibald and Andreas, and I got a picture. We was in London, England with Willie Mitchell.
Great.
I'm going to send you soon, yeah.
So what's your question?
Good memorabilia. Yeah, I'm going to ask Steve, do he still publish?
What?
I need to get in touch with him if he do.
Well, the I don't. Steve, are you going to write anything else? He's written over a dozen books. Are you going to write anything else?
I got a couple in the works.
I'm coming to republish records.
Oh, no. He's not publishing records. These are books about records.
Yeah, I write about the records. Yeah, I'm not in the business.
Right. I'm sorry, Marlo, but it's not a connection to get on vinyl. But if you ever want to read about it, boy, there's about a dozen books you'll like.
Okay, I'll check it out then. I'll check it out.
All right, thanks. I appreciate
it. Riley.
All right, thanks,
Thank
Marlo.
You. My sister told me to tell you hello too, Riley.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm delighted to hear it. And keep dancing.
I'm going to call Riley.
Yeah. All right. We'll tell her to keep dancing. Okay. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
Okay.
So we're talking with Steve Probst, and not a whole lot of time, so if you're trying to get your questions in, don't do like last time after the show is over. Say, I wanted to ask. No, now's the time to ask. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And if you listen to the show, I know you're a radio lover, and if you're a radio lover, you probably know all about the Sea Crane Company, but if not, oh man, you should. Bob Crane, many years ago, like many of us, was just disgusted with the state of radio and reception, especially AM in particular, but FM as well, and he thought, I can do better. And the one thing that everything in the Sea Crane catalog has in common, radios that Bob Crane has developed, is they all have terrific reception. Probably better than anything you're going to get on the market today, for sure. But they also have a number of unique features, like the CC Solar with Bluetooth. This is the ultimate emergency radio because, you know, the lights go out, you look for the flashlight, you look for the radio, and invariably the batteries are dead in both. That's okay with the CC Solar. It'll work with batteries, of course, and if you've set it in a windowsill, it's going to work on solar power. But if all else fails, you can hand crank it for about 30 seconds and it'll play for about 30 minutes with enough power to charge up a cell phone for that emergency call. So it's just really the answer when you're looking for something that is emergency management. It also has a flashlight, so you'll have light, you'll have radio, and even if you never use it in an emergency, it's a terrific radio. The AM and FM quality is just wonderful. You'll pick up things with this radio you don't pick up with other radios, like every one of them that Bob Crane developed. And you can go online anytime, ccradio.com. Take a look. It's the size of a brick. It's clean, modern digital design. It doesn't look like some hunky, you know, wind-up radio. It's got 5 one-touch memories, its digital readout, and I think you're going to like it. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, you can call them because they've got the best customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. You can order online. They'll answer all your questions, or if you like, they will send you a copy of the catalog so you can see it for yourself. And right now, if you buy the CC Solar Radio with Bluetooth, you know, that's the addition now, got Bluetooth, you'll get $15 off. So this is the time to call. 800-522-8863 or ccradio.com. You look at the CC Radio Solar, you tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Love of my life, forever true, being together.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. If you're saying, man, that sounds like Cruising with Reuben and the Jets. Well, it was on there, but before that it was Ron Roman, and before that it was Ray Collins, but this is the Ron Roman version, and it is featured in those old school records, Steve Probst. So what is it about that record that attracted you, Steve?
That Frank Zappa recorded at Powell Records, is later called Studio Z, where he got busted for putting out sort of naughty videos. Anything recorded by Zappa during those days is of great interest. And Ron Roman was an unknown version. Zappa fans or Zappa experts didn't know about it until I found a copy on the Deny label in Linwood, California, a major thrift store there. And, you know, looked at the writer's credit, Zappa, never heard of it, knew about the Reuben and the Jets. okay, that's one I didn't miss. I still have a copy of this to this day.
Oh yeah,
and I've done some research on it, but just a really hard record to find, and well worth looking into, which I did.
I'd love that's to hear the Ray Collins version. I have not. Have you?
Ray Collins. Well, that'd be Reuben and the Jets.
Well,
that'd
no, the original cool. recording was Ray Collins before Ron Roman.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, well,
I don't know if it was ever issued.
Maybe it's apocryphal. Who knows? If you don't know, I'll have to research it. But I was always under the impression that Ray Collins had done it first. I think like in Cucamonga or something. But then
Cucamonga was Studio Z with
right.
Al Records.
Right, but before
you know, they
that.
Tried to rename Cucamonga to Arpege because
I like Cucamonga. Nothing wrong with it.
Well, it's an Indian
yeah.
word, but people thought it sounded, well, it was lampooned on the Jack Benny show.
Oh, man.
So,
I hate to say this. I've got 30 seconds left, and if you don't give me one of your world's worst hits, people are going to slaughter me. So we're going to close with that. Name one.
Beep, beep.
All right.
Playmate.
Excellent. Excellent. I hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Yes, yeah, Steve Probst and those old school records and all the other books. And we'll talk more about that and the world's worst hit records coming up on WGN Radio.